Hey everybody, welcome to the Northwest Cult Podcast, episode 4. I am your host, the Grandmaster Hendy, and with us today we have Dead Internally. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling okay. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. So, I wanted to just start off this interview by kind of like, you know, going to the beginning a little bit, kind of just get an idea of who you are, where you came from, and all that stuff. So, I guess we'll just start off with where are you from geographically?
I'm from Northern California, San Francisco.
Oh, nice, nice. Beautiful area. So San Francisco. What's it like growing up in San Francisco?
Well, I actually grew up all over Northern California, but I've been in foster care for most of my life, so I've been like hopping around different places. I also, when I lived with my biological mom, she also moved a lot, so my family was moving a lot when I lived with her. So, yeah,
okay.
It's whatever though. Northern California is pretty nice. I like it.
Where's your favorite place to go in Northern California?
To be honest, it's a city that not a lot of people it's kind of small. It's like a town almost. It's Roanoke Park. I only like it because I have a lot of friends there. But I also like anywhere where you can go hiking in like Sonoma or whatever.
You enjoy hiking a lot?
Yeah, I like the outdoors. So,
nice. All right, so kind of grew up all over Northern California, you know, into the outdoors. Yeah. All right, cool. So when did you discover like music as like a passion?
When I was about 4. I was listening to music because my dad was also a musician, but unfortunately he overdosed when I was 7.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's okay. What was I saying? I got into music because he was into music. And
what type of music did he make?
He played guitar, so he played like flamenco and rock. Those are his two main genres.
Got it.
And he was really talented. He was very talented. I got into singing when I was little. I would always steal my sister's iPod and like just like listen to like random like rock music. I was super into Linkin Park, still am, huge Linkin Park fan.
Yes,
but my sister's iPod is the reason I got into Linkin Park. I would just always steal it from her all the time and listen to her music she had. And that and my dad are the reason I got into music. And I was listening to music at a very young age, and I started singing at a very young age, but I didn't start rapping till I was 11.
Okay.
And I didn't make beats till I was 11 either.
So what was like the first like rap music you got into?
The first artist would definitely be Eminem, but I'm not really into him anymore. But like that's kind of like everyone's like start. Oh my god, my bed's not made. I just don't realize that. Whoops. I got into Eminem when I was like 11, and then I got into the underground at like 11 as well, but like later on. And when I got into underground music, I was listening to kind of like weird like fast rap stuff that was like kind of really hard to understand, but because of that helped me with getting a head start on fast rap, because since I listened to it all the time, I began to understand what they were saying even though they were speaking like really quickly. And because of that helped me with like whenever I would try to rap, because I have a speech impediment, so it's really hard for me to enunciate sometimes. But because of music, it's it helped me improve with my enunciation like drastically. So,
yeah, that's what's up. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So beat making, what kind of got you interested in that? Like, where did you kind of start?
I started off this at 11 as well, and that's I started making beats the same time I started making vocals, because I decided if I'm going to get a music software, I have to make beats as well. I'm going to use like whatever I can in the music software, all of that it like brings for me, so that I'm not just just recording vocals off someone else's beats and not like experiencing the whole like setup of a DAW, you know?
Yeah.
And I started making like dark trap beats, and I didn't actually start making that. I started with EDM and dubstep, actually. That was my first genres I really started with beats, and I didn't rap off of them, obviously, because I couldn't really blend those together, because that doesn't really work out unless you're doing like trap or like trap dubstep, or you know, like trap step and stuff like that. Maybe that would work out, but I couldn't do that with the type of music I was creating at first. But then I started making dark trap beats, and that's when I started rapping off my beats.
All right, for sure. That's what's up. What was the first software you used?
The first software, honestly, Audacity. but then I upgraded to FL Studio, and now I have FL Studio Signature Bundle, Logic Pro X, and Ableton. Those are my three DAWs I use.
Yeah, Ableton's like the one, like the computers in our school, or at least the ones in the computer lab, had Ableton on them. So like
nice.
When I went to music class, they taught me how to, like, you know, it was like an electronic kind of music class.
Yeah, I had a when I was in middle school, I actually had a beat production class, which is super dope. And that was when I started making like trap music, because that's what they were teaching.
Yeah, I mean, like, I went to like a conservative kind of high school, so like they were kind of like, oh, you can't like just record like all these nasty rap lyrics over what you're making. Yeah. I'm like, why not?
Yeah,
like, well, you can't do it on the school computer. I'm like, fine, like, I'll bring my USB and I'll take the beats home. And they're like, oh, I don't know if we can allow that. I'm like, well, you're really just fucking me right now, you know?
Yeah,
they were on some other shit. But yeah, it's cool that schools offer classes like that. It really helps a lot of kids kind of discover that passion, because when I went to a different alternative school, I had a cool, much cooler music teacher, and he was like, you know, he's like, fine, I'll let you rap as long as you're not like swearing, because I don't want you like swearing in front of the other kids and then the other kids thinking it's okay to start doing that. I'm like, okay, that's fair. At least you're letting me like rap. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's cool. So I guess like I'll just kind of start going through like some music that like really stood out for me. I went for your old SoundCloud first, and one of the things that really stood out to me was the album of Nightmares. I listened to the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
I just
thought
it was really like I just really wanted to know like what like inspired you to like make that.
Oh yeah. Oh shoot, I'm getting a call. I should turn off my phone.
That's all right.
That actually was made from like every song on there was made from 14 to 15 or maybe 16. I think I was 14 to 15. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was my first released rap album. Basically the point of it was I have a mental health disorder which is called parasomnia, where basically like I get frequent nightmares, frequent sleep paralysis, and I occasionally will like hallucinate at night if I'm too tired.
Interesting.
And so yeah, so basically the album's symbolism behind the lyrics was about that, but not all the lyrics like were about that, so it's kind of confusing. But basically the album as a whole is supposed to represent what I went through going through this challenging experience, but some of the lyrics talk about other things. And basically it was just like a venting album. And yeah, pretty much.
Wow. I mean, like, yeah, like I feel like if I listen to it again with that in mind, it's gonna have like a very like, you know,
yeah,
like a lot more of a deeper meaning than it originally had, because now I, you know, heard it from the horse's mouth that what it's really about. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, is that something you still struggle with today?
Not really anymore, but I was for a while. I still get nightmares every night, but okay. Yeah,
I mean, I have post-traumatic stress disorder, so I can relate to the
so do I
part. yeah
I have PTSD and I'm bipolar, so
okay, like
yeah
I mean, I'm not one of those people that like to self-diagnose, but like my mom has like a kind of like a background, you know, medicine and stuff, and she has a brother that's bipolar, and she's like, we know you are, and I'm like, okay, well, take me to a psychiatrist and have them tell me, but I I can kind of understand where they're coming from. Yeah, I have like PTSD, you know, anxiety disorder, major depressive disorder,
yeah, I have all that and more. Yeah. But it's chill, like it's chill though, because we deal with this stuff every day, so like what are you gonna do, you know?
I mean, eventually you have to learn how to live with it. I mean, some people, you know, just
yeah,
can't
exactly
do that.
Yeah, but, for sure,
I'm glad that you're like, you know, like able to like, you know, manage it a little bit better now, you know, if not
oh
fully.
Yeah, definitely.
But
yeah,
that's really cool. Like, yeah, I mean, that's really cool that album has that meaning behind it. I really like that. I have to say my favorite song is Rip Hearts, for sure. I know you probably get that a lot, but like that's the one I've been like bumping all morning.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Somber is a really good friend of mine, and he's the guy who went first and I went second, but he's a good artist, and he's pretty popular too, like in the underground.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, he's featured.
Did having him on there help get you some exposure a bit?
Yeah, at first, because he reposted the track, but then I re-uploaded my album and he didn't repost the track again. But you know, it's chill because I deleted a bunch of music and then re-uploaded stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, hey, maybe this interview will get you a little bit more exposure, so you could earn those numbers back.
Yeah.
All right. So, another song I really enjoyed was The Switch Up. Well, it wasn't really, it was like a, kind of like a beat, sort of, I guess.
Yeah.
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 I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was very, very easy to make, though. Surprisingly. I made it on a launch pad, and I was hitting the squares and like the and I was like actually playing it with just like piano samples that I chopped up, and I played the drum beat, and I was also playing it in sync. Like I wasn't just like recording one end and then recording it. I was playing everything at the same time. So it seems difficult, but I really enjoyed making that song. The switch up was really tight, in my opinion. I only used the launch pad though, and I just recorded it from like it was just one channel strip, and that was it.
Yeah, like yeah. I wish I could figure out the launch pad, because those things look so fun.
Yeah,
I mean, you like we had one in think it was the music class at that other school, but like, yeah, we had like a launch pad, and I just thought it was like the funnest thing to use, like with the drum kit and everything. They're so fun. So another beat that stood out to me was the old pop beat. So what's the story behind that one?
That was probably like I mean, I used to be into pop music when I was a little kid, but I do not like pop music at all anymore. when I first started, and a lot of the beats I made when I first started were, well, one, garbage, two, I don't know, I was just like new, and I was just trying to experiment with different genres and find like my my genre that I fit with. So,
and I didn't think it was bad. I just saw it was the first track on your SoundCloud, so I gave it a listen, and I'm like, this has a good vibe to it, you know. I thought it was, like, you know, as a beat I would use personally. I mean, it, like, it's just like not my kind of style, you know. I mean, that's why they have tight beats, so that people can find their, you know, style, because there's such a variety of them. But in terms of just listening to it, I enjoyed listening to it. It had a really nice vibe to it. I think another beat, I forgot to write the name down to it, but it was a Shiloh Dynasty beat that I really enjoyed.
Oh, dude. On Audio Mac, so I don't even use Audio Mac, but, and all my, I have no covers on my Audio Mac, like there's no cover art and anything, but I released Shiloh Dynasty beat, the slow lo-fi Shiloh Dynasty beat that's like really slow and like chill. I released that on my Audio Mac, and it has like over like 100,000 plays or something like that. I'm like, I don't even use Audio Mac. How does that happen? And on my SoundCloud, it has like what, like 100? I'm like, what?
Wow.
Doesn't make any sense.
The internet never makes any sense. I mean, I really enjoyed going for your old SoundCloud, and I mean, like, I really enjoyed the Scarlord beats, especially. Those went pretty hard. But when I went to your new SoundCloud, there was a couple of those that stood out to me, and we have the Outcast freestyle that I really enjoyed. So that was really a freestyle.
Yeah, almost all my music is like freestyling. Like, I don't really write stuff. Okay, just make
it clear, because some people cap about that.
Yeah. No. I don't do that. Like, if I say I'm a freestyler, I mean, like, I'm a freestyler and I'm trying to do one take.
Okay.
So
respect.
Yeah, unless if I have harmonies, that usually means that I didn't freestyle. Like, if I'm singing on top of myself, because it's hard for me to harmonize and overlay my vocals when I don't have anything written, so I don't know what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I had a friend that I used to make music with. I'm not going to name who he is because he's a fuckboy and I don't want to give him clout. But he was a person who, like, when he wrote music, it was garbage. But when you just, like, sat him in front of a mic and like had him freestyle, like, you know, it was like something that, it was like the exact opposite for me, where like I can't freestyle to save my life, you know.
But, yeah, I'm good at both writing and freestyling, but it took me 3 years to actually get decent at freestyling. Lifeless was also a freestyle, the track I made at 14, and that was my first recorded freestyle. So
so when did you kind of shift over to like the more like soft melodic kind of sounding?
Honestly, that was when so I've always been a singer pretty much, but I mean, I've never been like 100% like outstanding or anything. I've just been like a singer, like, but I am better at rapping and I am good at rapping. But I started singing because I need more practice. That's pretty much the whole point of why I'm making more singing stuff, because I do not practice enough with singing and I need more practice. So that's why I have more singing recordings right now, just because I'm going through like a phase, I guess,
Are you familiar with a
of like
singer named
melodic shit.
Ninetales?
Oh, hell yeah.
See, because
Yeah,
when I was
that's
listening to your
that.
new SoundCloud, I kind of just had it on shuffle. And
Yeah,
when
some of
one of
my
your
music's.
those. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. I cover a lot of his music, so, and I credit him and stuff in the description. But I get one of my there's a guy that I know, and he knows Miles Ninetales, and I talked to him to get permission to cover his music, so I have like connections so that I could get the permission so I could cover his music, and that's it.
All
That's
right.
why I'm able to cover his music. So,
That's actually
yeah, pretty
really
much.
cool. Yeah, 'cause like
Yeah.
when I was listening to it, I'm like, why is this Ninetales song playing? And then like I
Yeah.
look on my phone and I'm like, oh, it's still on his SoundCloud? What? Like
Yeah.
I'm not
Yeah.
like you have a I wouldn't say like you have like kind of like the same like what's the word
I
for
mock his voice.
it?
I
Yeah.
mock his voice a lot. I mimic his voice because I'm really good at mimicking. I'm good at vocal techniques. I am self-taught, but I really understand how people talk, and I could and his voice. I don't have a similar voice to his, but I'm similar enough there. I can mock it. He also has a slight Canadian accent because he's Canadian. I have to do that too when I sing. I try to sound as much like him as possible, and yeah, it doesn't always come out great though, but I try.
I mean, I really like the songs where you've had that kind of singing voice. I mean, it really, I mean, yeah, it just gave me those Ninetales vibes and it like took me back to like that Lil Peep kind of phase I went through in high school. I had like blue hair and all that stuff. It was
Yeah,
pretty weird,
Miles
but
is my favorite artist. Like,
yeah.
hands down.
You know this song 505?
Yeah, 505. Yeah,
That's
that
probably my
song's
favorite
dope.
song by him.
Don't want to fucking die. Yeah, bro, that song's fire.
I know who's that other artist he made a lot of. It was not a lot of, I know he made like maybe a song or two with him. It was like Novalk, no, what's his name?
Convolk?
Yeah,
Convolk?
yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. He was
Yeah.
pretty good. And then there was, I know they him, Miles, and another artist made a song together.
Garden makes music with Miles, and Lil Narnia recently made a song with Miles and also made a song with Garden.
I'm trying to think of this little Narnia song I have in one of my playlists. I think it's called like Self Destruction.
Oh, that sounds so dope.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that song.
Yeah,
And yeah,
so
Garden was the other person that I was thinking of.
yeah, I listen to a lot of sad boy music, so yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I kind of went through like different phases, and those were one. I mean, I still listen to that music, but it's like
Yeah.
I'm not like dressing, like they are anymore, or
Yeah.
like acting out what's in those lyrics. Like, I'm trying to just incorporate all styles into me, but yeah, that's cool that you know about Ninetales, because I, not a lot of people around me really know him, like, because like
Oh,
everyone
really?
around here listens to Chicago rap, because like Lake County's right next to Chicago, so Everyone just listens to that, and like that's what I grew up listening to. But then I started playing like it's funny because like I was playing that music before people thought it was like cool. Like it was so dumb. Like because like I'd be like several months ago you were hating on me for listening to this type of music.
Yeah.
And now you're like posting it on your stories, taking videos.
Yeah.
Like, you're trash.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I like, but it's also a good thing that underground music is getting more popular because it gives people underground artists more exposure and independent artists more exposure.
Yeah, no, I agree with that in that regards. You know, it just sucks, like kind of the fan base that comes with it.
Like, yeah, I mean,
not like the numbers, but like the type of fan base.
Yeah. I was.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Ahead. I keep cutting you off.
It's chill. No, it's chill. Go ahead. It's chill.
No, I remember, like, I was a big fan of X, you know, before anyone in my school even, like, heard of him. And I remember when his fan base was, like, tolerable. But now, I mean, like, you have all these people that just found out about him after, you know, he got killed.
Yeah.
So, and then they're saying, like, you know, sad is like the most deep song ever. It might have a deep meaning, but it's like, it's been played so much that, like, the lyrics don't really mean shit to me. Like, I don't know. That sounds awful to say, but it's like, oh, man.
Let me hold that up.
I really wanted to see that, honestly.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Really? Nowadays?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I barely use mine. No, yeah, I'll definitely give that a watch tonight. I mean, like, I was dying to see that. And yeah, the same thing with his fan base. Like, the same exact thing happened. Like everyone before he blew up, like, who was, like, his fan, those are, like, the real, like, you know, people.
I'm actually getting this signed by Jay Green and Ghostmane, possibly.
Oh, that's dope.
So that's cool. Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
What were you saying though?
I don't know, it's
his fan base.
Yeah, his fan base, like, both of those guys' fan base used to just be, like, it was, like, these people that, like, you know, like, stuck together, you know? Like, it was, like, everyone, like, had each other's back, you know? And we all just, like, enjoyed the music. But, like, now it's, like, I have people trying to sell, like, fake merch, you know, for Lil Peep. And it's, like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Like, yeah, for sure.
And that's, and to be clear, that's not a real fan, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, okay, I'm pretty awful for this, and you can call me an awful person on camera if you want, but you know MacNed?
Like, no, I don't.
He was the he was the utter black guy in GBC.
Okay.
So I'll just kind of give a quick rundown. He basically was blamed for giving Lil Peep the drugs that killed him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I knew that, but I eventually got to a point because of my ex that I was listening to MacNed more than Lil Peep because it had more of that like trap influence more than Peep.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I listened to it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was after my Lil Peep phase. If it was during my Lil Peep phase, I would have said, like, hell no. Like, I'm not listening to this.
Yeah.
But like, now it's like, look, it's a legend. We don't know he did it.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. So I heard from a little bird that you are now a member of the Circle of Serpents. Is that true?
Yep.
So how did that come about?
Mike just hit me up and he's like, you want to join? I was like, sure. And that's it.
See, that's a lot of the stories with Mike, because he mainly just he Mike finds you. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Mike will find you. Like
Yeah.
if Mike thinks that like you're worth his time and effort, he'll come find you. And
Yeah, he actually found me on a live video with Sempra. Sempra was like live and I was just commenting, and then he like, 'cause he saw that I was commenting on his live, he pulled me aside after the live video on the DMs, and he's like, hey, want to do an interview? I was like, okay.
and now he's getting you other
Yeah.
interviews. So
Yeah.
that's awesome. But yeah,
Yeah.
Mike's a great guy. Did an
Yeah, for
interview with
sure.
him recently, but that's cool and all. So I mean, how's that feel to be kind of like, part of it, clicked up like that?
I mean, I've been in other collectives before, so, but it's pretty cool actually. I really appreciate like being in a group other than being like a solo artist. I hate being a solo artist, so to be able to be like in some kind of group makes me happy, 'cause I'm actually going to be making a band pretty soon
Oh,
from with
really?
these members. Yeah, with these members that are out of state, but they're moving to where I live just to form this band, so that's pretty tight.
My co-host, he would definitely be interested in that. So when the band gets together, let us know and we'll get an interview with all you guys.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
So that's cool and everything. So you're clicked up. You're making some great music. I mean, like, I really like what you got so far. I mean, it's just like I said, like you struck a chord with me with the Ninetales shit, I'll admit. But
Yeah.
I know that's not like,
Ooh.
the main thing, 'cause like I enjoyed a lot of the other songs you had on here.
Yeah, what do you mean by
Lost
struck a
Memories.
chord? Yeah,
Oh,
lost
struck a
memories
chord.
is
I mean,
okay.
kind of, that means kind of like, you moved me,
Oh yeah,
with
I get
the
you, yeah.
style you were using, because it kind of brought back some
Yeah.
memories to me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, lost memories. That was that song I actually thought was pretty trash, but I like Drift. Drift is a good song.
Drift.
Yeah, I recently released it. It's pretty okay, but yeah, most of my music I say that, but yeah.
I mean, I have people sending me their music all the time, and most of it's just eh. But I mean, when I found your account and everything, and I saw everything, I was like kind of like, wow, this is something different from what I'm typical to seeing, at least in the underground community that I'm in.
For sure.
All right. So what do you got planned, upcoming projects wise?
I have a couple of new albums I'm releasing. I can actually tell you some of the names, but not all of them, because some of them are surprise albums, and I have music videos coming out. So I have Dread 1 and Dread 2, two albums that are coming out, and then I have another album that I'm working on, and those aren't released yet. So, yeah.
Dread 1 and Dread 2.
Yeah.
Can you give us any idea of what those would be about?
Yeah. Dread 1 is going to be so Dread 1 and Dread 2 are just pretty much, Dread 2 is just a sequel of Dread 1, so, but the first Dread album is going to be basically about like shit I've been through, and like how it's changed me, what it's turned me into, and what I do to like strive forward and like stuff like that. And I'm also it's gonna be a really dark album, and so is the third one that I can't give the name out yet. But yeah, they're all three of them are gonna be kind of dark, but I will have some like emo, trap, sad boy music mixed in with it, but like still have sort of dark vibe. If that makes sense.
Yeah, like I always appreciate it when an artist kind of like mixes in like different styles into their albums. It really kind of
Yeah.
really expands the catalog, I think, for their music.
Yeah, for sure.
But so when you make your albums, do you or yeah, like when you make your albums, like do you like structure it a certain way so that like, you know, each song is like in a certain order, and you kind of just
Yeah,
come to it.
definitely. I definitely do that. I order it a certain way, to get my point across a certain way.
Got it, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're gonna be some dark albums. I'm looking forward to hearing those. I mean, like, I already like what you got so far. I'm excited. Do you have any
And
idea when the first two will be dropping?
Well, I actually had to throw away a bunch of songs because I didn't think they were good enough. So I have to redo the albums one more time. So I don't have a date yet, but this year definitely I'm dropping both of them this year, and then the third one I'm also going to be dropping this year. So just expect three new albums this year. But the third album isn't going to be dark. It's going to be more heartfelt and more about like pain I've felt in my life.
Okay.
But like, yeah. But
So
also
still
like
dark,
kind
but
of
more of
like,
like a softer tone, you could say.
it's not like a like dark dark. It's like emotional, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first two will kind of have more of like an edge to them, you could say.
A what?
More of like an edge to them. They'll be like more like. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Will anyone from Mad Snake Collective be involved in this?
You
Or
know, I
is
didn't
just
think
a
of
solo
that,
project?
but it is a solo project, but I could throw in a couple features in there. I'll think about it.
I was just curious, but I mean that would be cool to see on honestly, but I mean like I'm sure it would be just as great on its own.
I was thinking it was gonna be 100% solo and like no features, but you know, I might actually do that.
You never know. I mean, like you could put a feature on a song and it could really complement it, you know? It's like rice is all right on its own. You just add a pinch of salt on it and it's that much better, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a stupid analogy, but I came up with that on the spot, so don't judge me. I wasn't saving that for this
It's
interview.
true. It's
No, but that's what's up. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. And I mean, yeah, like that would be really cool if we could see some people on Mad Snake being a part of that. But if not, I mean, I'd be just as excited. So before those albums, like, you know, between now and those albums getting released, do you have any like smaller releases that you have planned?
Yeah, I have a few singles. I have so usually when I record an unreleased song, I'll also film it with my phone, like to like release like a snippet or a preview on my Instagram. So I do have some songs I've shown what they look like. And one of my songs I have a feature with a good friend of mine that I used to we used to be together. She was an ex of mine, but yeah, she's a singer, and she's really talented, so I'm really stoked about that. And
Definitely.
that's going to be releasing soon once it's finished.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right, for sure.
I guess where would you like to see yourself like end up in the future with the music fit?
I mean, I want to be an inspirational figure and like inspire the world. Like that's my main goal. Like if I don't accomplish that, then there's no point in really like living, honestly. Like that's what I want to do. Like I can't like that's the only thing that really is making me alive is music. So, and I want to help people and like help people like help make the world a better place, you know, like through my music and like I just want to be an inspirational figure. That's the main thing I want to do.
Well, that's very noble that, you want to make the world a better place. I mean,
Yeah.
a lot of people strive to make it a worse place, or they think they're making it better, but they really are making it worse.
Yeah, it's true.
What do you think would make the world a better place?
I mean, just community and helping each other out and understanding about issues that arise and like teamwork and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
if problems arise, then you gotta like work together and like figure out better shit, you know? I'm a straight edge artist, so I don't do any like drugs, alcohol or smoke, and never have and never will. And because of that, I want to like try to help people that are like going through a like recovery. In the future, I want to help people like with that as well. Because my mom struggles with that. My dad died from that, so
Yeah, it's a very terrible disease to live with, addiction.
yeah.
It not only does it destroy the person, but it destroys the people around that person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I it's no secret to everyone that I struggle with that stuff myself. I mean like the
Yeah.
fact that you're willing to dedicate your time to that in the future sometime is, I think, is very noble, because like drug addicts need more understanding people like you that are willing to be patient and
Yeah.
take the time to listen and to understand like what the root cause of those issues is, 'cause like no one
Yeah.
wakes up and decides like I'm gonna be addicted to heroin. There's several factors leading up to that decision to
Yeah.
try it, but no one wants to become hooked on it. It's just,
Yeah.
but yeah, like I've had people overdose. I have people that are homeless now because of it. It's pretty awful, but like I'm really glad that like you see it as a issue and you want to help out with it. I mean, and you've been touched by it personally, so it has like a deep meaning to you. So yeah, good on you for
Yeah.
wanting to do that for people.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess since we only have a little bit of time left, I like to end these off by kind of giving you the opportunity to, if you wanted to thank anyone or give someone a shout out for like helping you get to this position,
Yeah, definitely.
so yeah, I'll just let you do that.
All right, shout out Somber, AK3K, shout out Witch House 40K, shout out let me think. shout out everyone in Schema, shout out Nosferatu, shout out Circle of Serpents, shout out bro, I got so many people I can shout out. Yeah.
I mean, like, Who's like one of the people that you can say like has really been like the biggest help in this journey?
I don't know about the biggest. I mean, they've all pretty much helped me a lot. Let's see here. I mean, AK3K and Somber and Nosferat, pretty much all of them are like helped me through stuff. So like, I don't know. There's a lot of people that have helped me on my journey and like we that I've worked with and that have a big impact on my life and my music career. So,
well, I'm really glad to see that you have people like that in your corner that are willing to help you like that. And that's really awesome.
Yeah.
No, yeah, if it wasn't for my co-host and my aunt, I wouldn't be doing this still right now. I would have given up on it.
But, yeah. You know,
it's people like those that like really like drive us to do what we do and to do what we love and to discover what we love. So I'm glad that you have people that inspire you. Because you're going to take that inspiration, and I can tell, you know, just from this conversation that we had, that I think you're going to inspire a lot of people. And, you know, the reach of that will vary, you know, with time. But, like, as long as, like, I say it, as long as you've at least affected someone positively, at least one person, you've done your job right as an artist, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if your song stopped at least one person from, like, giving up, then you've done your job correctly. And that's, and it's the small things like that, like no matter how big you get, like those are the things that like each and every one of us should never forget, that that's the reason why we're doing this. It's to inspire and
help.
But
I
definitely fuck with that attitude. It's a great attitude to have. I mean, like a lot of people, you know, would just want to use that fame and platform to, you know, elevate their own like selfish desires, I guess you could say. But but like sometimes being a philanthropist or, you know, charitable person doesn't hurt, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have a couple of minutes left. Was there any announcements, just anything we didn't cover that you just wanted to bring up real quick?
No, not really.
You think we covered everything?
Yeah, not that I can think of right now. I don't think there's anything I could think of. So, yeah, I guess we covered most of it.
I mean, say it now or forever hold your peace.
I don't know, man.
Okay, I'm just playing. Well, I personally really enjoyed this interview. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think the viewers are really gonna eat this one up, because like what I try to strive for on this channel is just realness. And like this was a real, real interview that talked about real stuff. All right, for the most part, I've gone through all my prompts. This concludes the fourth episode of the Northwest Cult Podcast. I'd like to thank Dead Internally for joining us and gracing us with his presence, you know, and, you know, offering a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. So tune in next time for the next exciting episode of the Northwest Cult Podcast, and we will catch you later. Peace.